This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. In this portion of the program, we're going to hear about a girl who grew up a free black person in America in the 19th century. Her name, Maricha Raymond Lyons. She was born in New York City in 1848. She died in 1929 at the age of 80. Our guest is Tanya Bolden. She is the author of more than 20 books. Her latest is a book about Maricha, the title Maricha, a 19th Century American Girl. The book is the result of having been shown Maricha's unpublished memoir, Memories of Yesterdays, All of Which I Saw and Part of Which I Was. She saw the memoir some years ago while researching another project at the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture. Tanya Bolden, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Celeste.
What impact did this memoir have on you when you first read it?
Well, it was time travel. I'm a native New Yorker, and I'm black, and I thought, wow. Reading her story gave me insights into what my life might have been like had I been born when she was.
Yeah.
You know. Also, I look at her as one of my role models. She's also who I wish, I would hope I would have been had I been born in her time.
Yeah. She is at once ordinary and remarkable. She's ordinary and extraordinary. You know, as a girl, she went to ball games and went on picnics. She helped with the housework, all things we can identify with today. Maybe you'd tell us a little bit about daily life, the ordinary side of life in the Lyons household.
Well, I think ordinary, a lot of it, as you can see, I've had to speculate, because one thing about her memoir is she was more about giving information about others and her role model. She didn't really go on and on and on about the details of her. She hit the high points, but she never. I know that her memoir is not finished, given the condition.
Mm.
So she doesn't give a lot about those, you know, little everyday details. You know, but you know that she had a backyard, so you assume that she played. She gives more information about her schooling, and one of the things that was ordinary for many black children is that often she would have to walk to school. At one point, when she was living in Lower Manhattan and going to school in 37th and Broadway, so about 3 miles away, she often had to walk because the coaches just refused to pick her up.
Yeah. You begin the story with words from Maricha about the ideals of her parents.
Mm-hmm.
Aim high, stand tall, be strong, and do. And one of the ways in which her parents lived those words was by helping escaped slaves.
Yeah. They lived several places in Lower Manhattan, and whatever home they lived in, it was their livelihood. It was home and it was work, because they ran a boarding house that catered to sailors. And a boarding house made an ideal safe house.
Yeah.
So as people escaping slavery from Virginia, Maryland, wherever, came up, they could go into their boarding house. No one would notice different people coming and going, and they would feed them, give them a change of clothes, sometimes help them with disguises, and wish them well on their journey, you know, off further north to New England or even to Canada.
Yeah. Now, what were her parents' ambitions for the children, Maricha and her siblings?
The focus was education. I mean, like many black people then and later, who didn't have wealth and huge connections, they really, I mean, that is so cliche, but they really understood that education, as Malcolm said, was the passport to freedom. Yeah. Also, education was also a doorway into service, because the idea was that Maricha and her siblings were supposed to get as much schooling as they could so that they could have productive, prosperous lives, and also so that they would be able to give back to their communities. And she chose to be a teacher.
Right, right. And one of the elements of her story that I find most inspiring was how it was she was able to enroll in high school in Providence, Rhode Island.
Yeah. After the family was left New York because of the aftermath of the draft riots, they had to start anew. So again, they were entrepreneurial. Father, as a youth, had been worked in an ice cream company, so he started a little ice cream shop. And at the time, there was no high school for blacks, and she was high school age. So her parents thought, we won't take no for an answer, so they tried to, enter into the girls' department of Providence High. The school said no, and her parents refused to take no for an answer. So she ended up at, like, age 16, actually speaking before the Rhode Island legislature, pleading for an opportunity to continue with her education. And they said yes. Sadly, in her memoir, she did not reproduce her speech. She only called it her maiden speech. But it didn't stop there. So the legislature says yes, because there is no other high school, she can go to the only high school. The school decided that we don't know if she's got the right stuff. So even though she had graduated from grammar school in New York, they said that she said that a certificate from a black grammar school was not sufficient. So they made her go back to grammar school for a few weeks, take an exit test to gain admission. She passed the test, which she described as grilling. And then her first year of school, no other students would sit next to her.
Hmm. Aim high, stand tall, be strong, and do. And don't take no for an answer. Keep going.
Yeah, I mean,
over and over again, this family comes back from adversity.
Yeah, and I think for me, the point of the book is to remind all of us, but especially young people, that overcoming is definitely an option.
Hmm.
You know, I also think of the Russian proverb, the hammer that shatters the glass forges the steel.
Tell us about the draft riots of 1863. This was a life-threatening event for the Lions.
Yeah, and for, a lot of New Yorkers, I think it was one of the worst. There were several draft riots that summer. At that time, in March, when they announced it was going to be a draft, at that time they were not accepting, although blacks were fighting in volunteer regiments, they weren't in the regular army. And they started to say, midway of the Civil War, we have to have a draft. And understandably, a lot of people got upset, for one, especially poor whites, because rich people could buy out for $300. You could get an exemption. And that was what some people made in 2 years, average workers. And in mid-July, they started the draft. And in Lower Manhattan, people, staged a protest rally on a draft office, and then one bad thing led to another, and they torched the draft office, and then mobs went wild. A lot of property damage. Mirich's home was attacked three times. First time the people went away. Second time the father shot out into the night. The people scattered. The third time the crowd was so immense and so violent that her parents fled, her mother to a German neighbor, her father down the street to the police station. And apparently, before it got too bad, they had gotten the kids, I believe, over to Williamsburg to safety. And another footnote is that the German neighbor who gave her mother shelter was beaten up a little while later.
Yeah. Must have been terrifying.
Yeah, I can't imagine it. Like I said, it was the worst riot up until that point America had ever seen.
Hmm.
I mean, they also, attacked the Astor, I think, Opera House, and the New York Herald, New York Times, New York Tribune. They attacked black people, wealthy people, abolitionists. It was horrible.
Yeah. The book is beautifully done.
Thank you. Abrams, they do great work. I have a friend, her favorite are the end pieces that allow people to actually see where Maricha lived and went to school and went to church.
Yeah. Well, Abrams has a fine reputation for books.
Mm-hmm.
Would you talk, because this is radio, we can't show the book to people in the audience, but would you talk a little bit about the design of the book and the choices you made in telling Maricha's story?
Well, what I decided from the outset, there were two ways to do the book. We could have gotten an illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
But the Schomburg, in addition to having her memoir, they have ambrotypes of most of her family, except for her older sister. And I was also able to find, for example, you mentioned she went to the baseball games at the Elysian Fields in Hoboken, New Jersey. So I was able to find a Courier and I's lithograph of the Elysian of a baseball game. She also went to the first World Fair in New York, in America, that was held in New York in the 1850s. And, you know, New York Public Library has engravings of the Crystal Palace. So I also, in the family archives, we have her graduation speech, which is reproduced in the book. And I had read online somewhere that the New York Times had a little mention of what her family suffered during the draft riots. And it dawned on me there are places that sell rare newspapers. So I tracked down a copy of that issue, the July 15th issue, 1863 issue of the New York Times, so that we could reproduce the passage that talks about what happened to her family's home.
Yeah. It has a, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it has a feeling of finding in the attic an old family scrapbook.
Exactly. That's what it's like. And when I think about all this story, I think, reminds us all of all the stories we don't have. I mean, here was, yes, her great uncle was a star at the first black theater in the Village, which is now the Village. Yes, her family knew Frederick Douglass, and her godfather was the first black to earn a medical degree. But their story is that, like I said, you said more of that everyday kind of people, and very often their artifacts of their lives are not preserved. But thankfully, a nephew of hers handed over the family archives to the Schomburg so that others could learn of them. But you think how many people, where a nephew or a grandson, after the elders pass, they sort of maybe throw the stuff away.
Yeah, right. Well, let that be a lesson to all of us.
Yeah.
Right? Tanya, we have to go. We've used up the time. I hope.
Thank you so much, Celeste.
My pleasure. I hope at some point in the future we'll talk again.
Yes.
Tanya Bolden has been my guest in this portion of the afternoon magazine. Look for the book Maricha, A 19th Century American Girl. It's published by Abrams.